Folks, if your knowledge of DISC, high D's, I's, S's, and C's, the perfectionists, the Attila the Huns, the marketers, the team players, if that has helped you become more effective at work, you'll want to seriously consider coming to our Effective Communications Conference. We set the basics of DISC in an hour or so, and then we spend the rest of the day teaching you how finally to communicate effectively, which is to pay attention to what your listener does and communicate in a way that makes sense to them. At the end of the day, you'll be able to read someone in a conversation, determine their major DISC tendency, and then based on that, make some changes in how you deliver to improve the chances that you get harmony and congruence and collaboration and not drama, conflict, and tension. Come see us. Welcome to Career Tools. Negotiation, Chapter 2, Leave Something on the Table. Okay, Wendy, this is our second cast about negotiation, something I really care about a great deal and yet try very hard to avoid. We talked about developing trust.
That sounds really bad. That sounds like you just run over people and you don't negotiate with them.
No, I that's a very good point. I have learned that great negotiations are all about before and after and not the during. And that's the big problem with negotiation. Everyone thinks it's about win-lose, and it's not. And so I choose not to negotiate. I overtip. I underexpect. If there's a disagreement, I resolve it by choosing to accept goodwill in return for what the other person considers a win. And if I continue to engage in situations which there is some disagreement or there is some gap between what the two parties want, and if I find that gap returns over and over again, then I just won't have a relationship anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I love great negotiation, and I believe it's won and lost before and after. In this cast, though, we're going to talk relatedly about the value of that, about being willing to place the relationship above the negotiated outcome. Right? If one person feels like they lost, and that tends to happen when one person tries to win, you end up perhaps being, you know, penny wise and pound foolish. You get what you want, but not in the long run. As my dad used to say, you can take more than you give, but only for a little while until they run you out of town. Okay, so what's our outline?
So we're going to decide what's most important, or you're going to decide what's most important to you. Decide what you're willing to give. And then start by giving, which we also talked about last week, but we're going to go a little bit further this time.
Okay, good. So deciding what's important to you, I will tell you that most people would say, I know what's important to me, everything. You know, I just want everything. But that's not what we're suggesting, is it?
No, it's not true most of the time. If you actually think a little bit about it, and you cannot have everything, or you can have everything, but you can only have it once because the next time people won't play with you. If you think about buying any kind of consumer good, which is something that people tend to do on a more common basis, you know, you want a washing machine in a washer and it has to fit in the space that you have and you would prefer it to be white and blah, 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 and you've got a price range, but this one's cream, like, would you let it go if it kind of matches in the kitchen? For some people, that would be okay. And for some people, would they say, no, it absolutely has to be white and I'll pay more for it. So not everything is equal in your list of wants. And so the first thing you need to do is to list out everything that you need and then start to think about, okay, what are the most important things? What are the things that I cannot go without? Like, the washer can't be too big for the space. It can't, because then it's useless to you. But maybe the color doesn't matter as much. So you want to start by kind of thinking about those things and ranking them. One of the secrets of negotiation is that you should be willing to walk away if the most important things aren't satisfied. But on the other hand, you should be willing to give up all the things that aren't important to you.
And for those managers who think, well, I'm negotiating for my company and I can't, you know, they've asked me to come to an agreement. Well, there is in fact a solution where you go back to the company and say, I'm sorry, we can't make this work. What they want is untenable for us. And too many managers go in saying, I have to have an agreement. And what you need to do, one of the things that getting to yes, the Harvard Negotiation Project teaches, is something called knowing what is your BATNA, your best alternative to a negotiated agreement. In other words, what will happen if you don't get a negotiated agreement? What is your present state? And would the negotiation that you're going to do engage in something that's worse than the present state? You need to know that, and you need to know what you want, and you need to know what's on the table. And probably the first few times you do a negotiation, you are going to be way short of the number of things that are on the table. In fact, some of the most successful negotiations that I've had that actually went to bargaining, if you will, and by the way, folks, that would not include salary, because that's a whole separate thing, became so because somebody brought to the table something that would not normally be considered part of the negotiation in terms of a contract negotiation or something. Somebody brought something new and said, I would be happy to offer this as a way to ease the gap over here. And that was, in fact, what closed the deal. And so when you're making your list, be pretty broad. You don't necessarily have to share your list. But your wants and your needs and what you can offer, make sure what you offer is perhaps think about making it more expansive than what might be obvious to just anyone.
Yeah, payment terms are sometimes, like, well, that's one of those things that people don't necessarily include, but that can be really important to a small company that has cash flow problems. If you say, we'll pay net zero, a small company will go, okay, then we'll do whatever you like.
And suddenly the price is negotiable, right?
Yeah.
The small company is saying, I'm sorry, we can't negotiate on price because they're afraid they're going to be talked into something less and then they're going to have to wait 180 days. We have this situation all the time. Mike and I own the company. We're very conservative. And so people say, well, that's kind of a big number. I say, well, pay it in 6 months or a year. Well, that's fine. We don't need the money right now. And big companies are surprised. You know, they say, well, what kind of terms do you want? What kind of terms would you like? We trust you. We've never not been paid, right? And that completely changes the discussion. Now it's like, hey, boss, we don't need $10,000. We don't need $20,000 this quarter. We need $5,000 now. And the boss goes, oh, that's fine then. And I need $5,000 next quarter and $5,000. It's totally fine. So we probably, Wendy, we probably need to give folks a podcast in the negotiation series saying, here are some standard negotiating topics. Here are things that typically are negotiated in the workplace. Here are some things that you may not think about that may in fact be helpful to you that expand the number of tools or objects or issues that could be brought to the table that go into the decide what's important to you. And in this example, you know, payment terms are something that perhaps could be less important to you and could be terribly helpful to the person on the other side, your counterparty, if you will.
Yeah. One of the things when you're writing your list, when you're ranking your list, you do have to remember that it is a negotiation. So if you put all of the expensive things in terms of time or money or energy or effort as like, I want all of these things and all of the really minor things like, you know, having color printing done for all the books at the end, then you're either not going to get everything you want or you're going to pay more. That you could, there is some need to be realistic here that the other person is coming, you're trying to meet halfway. You're not trying to get the other person to come all the way over to you based on your wish list.
Well, of course, and what people would say to that, I've heard that before. What people would say is, I don't want to try to go halfway. I'm afraid if I try to go halfway, they'll only go a quarter of the way. And therefore, you know, I'll end up giving more than I want. And the important thing to keep in mind, if you immediately rebelled or you slightly rebelled to what Wendy had said, was the thing to keep in mind there is you can walk away. If you give half and they don't, you don't have to keep going. You can say, you know what, I've given a great deal here, and you seem intent on taking more of this than I'm willing to give. And what that means is I'm afraid that this is going to be a situation where our goodwill is ruined, and I don't want to do that. It'd be better for me not to have an agreement and to maintain the trust than feel cheated. You might not want to use that word, but feel like this was not an effort on both of our sides to come together. And I've seen that done several times, and it's done just fine. Although most young managers, most young professionals are uncomfortable doing that. But you can.
But it doesn't need to be something that you're uncomfortable with. It doesn't need to be, you know, well, you're not coming to me, so I'm just going to walk off. Like, you don't actually have to walk off in a half. You can say, you know, I'm really sorry, but what you're coming up with isn't what I need. And there seems to be, you know, we've talked about it. Unfortunately, we can't agree. And I'm going to have to break off this negotiation. And I hope to talk to you soon.
Yeah, did you think that I was saying walk off in a huff?
No, I didn't. Yeah. But I just wanted to make that clear that the end of a negotiation, if it's not successful, doesn't need to end with animosity. It can absolutely end up with you saying, look, we'll come back to you next time, but this time it's not going to work.
Right. Okay. Decide what you're willing to give. In other words, we've got our list and we've decided, hopefully, what's most important to us. The next thing you suggest is decide what we're willing to give.
Yeah. So what we do is we go through the list and we highlight the things that we're willing to give on. So, for example, if we've decided that we need to get $10 a pound for the goods that we're selling,
right,
that they're buying, but we know that we make them for six. So eight would be okay, but we'd rather have 10. You can highlight that and write, you know, you're not sharing this list with them necessarily, or probably not. And you can write next to the thing that says $10 a pound, you could write eight. And when they come back and say, well, I can do nine, well, nine is between eight and 10. And so you can make an agreement. Yes, you left a dollar per pound on the table, but you got a deal. Whereas if you'd have insisted on the 10, you may not have got that deal and you'd have ended up with nothing.
Right.
And that's the point of negotiation, is that everybody ends up with something.
Yeah. And everybody ends up with something that they're comfortable with. Yeah. And I think the natural response to most people is to see negotiation as a win-lose situation. If the other guy feels like he got more of what he wanted, then by definition, therefore, you got less of what you wanted. And that's not so. And of course, if you're dealing with somebody who's immature and approaches it that way, it requires more maturity on your part to say, wait a minute, yeah, he can think he won all he wants. I got a deal that I can absolutely be comfortable with. And if you leave some things on the table, and if you maintain some goodwill, you'll be back at the table again. If you're not comfortable with the deal that you would say, yes, I would be comfortable with that deal, but only if the other guy is somehow uncomfortable, then you're going to end up not negotiating, and you're going to end up in with less partnerships, less situations where you can close the gap by discussing things. And it's that win-lose thing that really, really hurts. And too often, if you think win-lose, you don't want to put anything on the list of things you're willing to give.
So it can be any party. Again, like, think more broadly than just the basis of the deal, but it can be cash based on the price or incentives. It can be warranty or indemnity. It can be the length of the contract or the length of the time the task will take. You know, there's that famous project management triangle that says you can have it cheap, fast, or quality, but you can't have all of them. Well, that is the negotiation between the cost and the speed. So maybe the speed isn't important to you and the cost goes down. It can be free delivery or shrink wrapping or the extras that you'll take in order to get the thing that you want. It could be anything, and it all depends on what you're negotiating for.
It's been my experience that when I tell people, when I'm teaching negotiation, when I tell them, well, you know, for instance, you might not care about the color. People come back and say, oh, I care about everything. And again, folks, the point we're making here is not that everything isn't potentially negotiable, and not that you wouldn't want to have everything, you wouldn't accept everything they gave you if it was all that you wanted. The question is, what might you be willing to give up? And so the I don't care about the color, you're probably saying right now, well, no, actually, I would actually care about that. Okay, that's fine. But do you care about that as much as you do about this? What are the most important things and what are the less important things? And if you're willing to do that, it gives you much better flexibility in the discussion. Plus, it helps you understand the next point we're going to make, which is you've got to give first. If you expect the other person to give first, you're aiding and abetting the mentality that it's a win-lose situation and you're trying to win. Even if you have a mentality that you want to maintain the relationship or strengthen the relationship and you're going to leave something on the table.
Yeah, so eventually you're going to meet the person that you're negotiating with. So it's all very well having a list of what you are willing to what's important to you and what you're willing to give up, and probably another list of what you think is important to them and what you think they'll be willing to give up, because that might help you understand what things you should give first. If there's something that's not important to you, which you're pretty sure is important to them, then that might be a good place to start the negotiation. And eventually you do have to meet the person, and that will give you a whole bunch more information about them. You know, based on their body language and the way they talk and what they talk about first and all of those kind of things. Every time you give first, you increase the goodwill, because the guy can go back to his boss and say, well, yeah, we've only been talking for 2 hours, but I've already got these three things out of them. And the boss is like, wow, you're good. And the guy's like, yeah, I am. But it was all you, you know, and you've just made someone look good. That's always a good thing.
Yeah. As long as you can wrap your head around the idea that giving early, in fact, can lead to a better result. Mm-hmm. And of course, there are all kinds of people who can't do that. And there are some of you who will listen to this and say, I'm just simply not, you know, that's not for me. And that's fine. And you can think of the win-lose thing, and you'll have more wins probably, but also more losses, and you'll have less relationships. And over again, what we know is results in relationships are what really, really fuel careers.
Yeah. And it takes more strength. It takes more confidence to be the person who gives first. Because all the people that are thinking, oh, I wouldn't possibly do that, there's an anxiety because you think that something will happen if you give first. The people that are giving first are confident that they will either get what they want and the other person will get something too, or they can walk away. And that's what gives them the confidence to give first.
Yeah, I also have found that, and I'm sure we'll do this in a future cast, future guidance, is to say, okay, here, that's okay. I'm willing to be flexible on that. And by the way, you don't say I necessarily give, because that gives the impression that you own it and now you're giving it to them. Rather, I'm willing to be flexible on that. And that's another area where I'm willing to be flexible. Sure, I'll be okay with that. Now, there are people that you'll work with who will take that as a sign of weakness and then will say, well, he's giving so much. Now I can get everything I want of the small stuff and I'm going to get the big stuff, let's say. And at some point he says, no, I'm sorry, I can't. Your counterparty says, I can't give on that. And you'd say, well, okay, that's particularly important to me. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with telling somebody that this is particularly important to you. You don't have to tell them the rank ordering of how you're going to feel about everything. But if he were to say, no, I'm sorry, that I can't be flexible on, you might choose to say, well, what could you be flexible on? And if they say, well, not very much, you might come back and say, well, okay, look, let's briefly review where we are. I've agreed to do this and this and this. I've agreed to be flexible here and here and here. I've given you some room to waggle here because I understand that you've got some people behind the scenes that are particular about those things. And now I've come to you and asked for some flexibility here and you've said no. Okay, that's fine. We can come back to this one later. And if we come back to this one later and you're not willing to be flexible, but 9/10 of the deal has been done, what's going to end up happening is your lack of flexibility in that area, after I've been flexible in 5 or 6 or 7 areas, is going to kill the deal. Is that what we want to do right here? And this is a process check that you do periodically to make sure you're okay. If they say, well, that probably could be, I said, well, okay, let's go back then. Let's wipe the slate clean. Let's start over. I didn't realize that this was going to be a situation where there are going to be some things held back and there was no flexibility. I thought our purpose was to try to reach an agreement. And I feel like what I'm doing now is trying to help you get what you want. And no offense, with very little reciprocity from you. I respect that you may be in that situation, except that we may be wasting our time here because you may be in that situation. But if I don't know it, and essentially what you're saying is nothing is flexible and you're not willing to give, then I'll just take my BATNA You know, I'll just take my the best alternative to this negotiation is something I can live with. I think we could achieve something better, and we need to either reset and start over, and I need to approach this differently, or I need to know more about what you're flexible on. And there's nothing wrong with saying in a negotiation, we're spending a lot of time and I don't believe we're going to get there. And I don't want to ruin our relationship by creating a negotiating agreement that's not good for both of us. All right. That said, I'm getting ahead of.
Well, you just saying that, it just occurred to me that we're kind of implying that every commercial transaction is a negotiation here. And
not everything is.
I just want to say that, like, yeah, if somebody comes to you and says you want something and they come back and all the terms are agreeable to you, it's fine just to pay. You don't have to negotiate on everything. This is just for when it's important. Yeah. So the first part you jumped ahead, but the first part of any negotiation is that both parties state their opening position. You can't go into a room and not tell each other anything because then nothing happens. So you can say, this is my opening position, and be really formal about it. Or you can, you know, it might be an email and it's really casual. But we're going to suppose that you need 100 cardboard boxes for moving, because you're moving between offices. And you send a note to your box supplier and say, hey, Brian, I need 100 boxes in the next 21 days and I can't pay over $1 a box. And that's your opening position. 100 boxes in 21 days and less than $1 a box. But you could also give something. If you know 100 is a low order for him and that he would prefer the order to be higher, or he would prefer to have a more guaranteed income over the next 3 months, say it's coming up to tax time and you know that he's going to have to pay his tax, and so guaranteeing 3 months worth of income would be good for him, you might say, hey, and you know, we're moving this other office in 2 months and I can guarantee you another order of 200 boxes in 90 days. And maybe that's all it takes for you to get your dollar a box for those 300, as opposed to $1.50, whatever it might have been.
Okay. And I think one of the points is time is something you mentioned in terms of payment terms, but time is something everyone seems to miss because they tend to reduce negotiations to things for money. But time is always a variable.
Yeah, we have a guy who's doing some scanning for us in Boston, and he has yet to give us an invoice, which is fine because we don't need to pay him. But I said to him, it doesn't matter how long it takes for you to do the scanning. And he decided that meant that he wouldn't give us an invoice until he was done. So time is often one of those things that not everything needs doing right now.
Yeah. And yet immediately when I hear that, I think, okay, we need to call that guy and say, hey, listen, you may have an assumption here that we will only pay you when it's done. And therefore we were trying to send you a coded message that take as long as you want meant we didn't want to pay right now, but we don't want to put you in a situation where you feel like you're working and it's taking quite a while and you've put a significant amount of effort in and then you're going to bill us. If you need to bill us now, we're happy to have that. And there I am using time to our advantage and to his advantage.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly. Yeah. To be clear, I did say that. I do know how our company works. But
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. I know.
And that's one of the things that you see often in cable installers or people that are coming to your house. They'll give you like a 2-hour window, and that's enough for them to have some flexibility around the appointments and let the guy go to McDonald's on the way. And yet you don't have to take the whole day off work, which you used to have to do if somebody was coming to your house. So it's a balance between the two of you.
Yeah, I've also found, again, I'm good at negotiating, even though I don't do it very often. Although that said, I'm in situations that call for negotiation and I simply am able to avoid what most people think of negotiating, because I could say my opening position could be, look, under the circumstances, here's what we're willing to do. Having thought through what they want, not concerning myself with winning, but rather giving them what they want at a position that'll allow me to feel good about what I'm doing and strengthening the relationship, and saying, I can give them what I believe they want. And we don't even have to negotiate,
which for me, they can say yes.
Yeah, which for me, time is everything. And they say, wow, that's great. Now, is it possible that I do that sometimes and people take advantage of me by saying, no, 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 I'll take all that, but I want more? Yeah, but I'm pretty smart and I'm comfortable saying, well, okay, as you were well aware, there are several concessions in there, and now I feel like you're attempting to fleece me, which is damaging to our relationship. And negotiations, except in rare occasions of bankruptcies and so on, negotiations are about what two parties are going to do or agree to together in the future. If your relationship is shot, it doesn't matter what the terms of that deal are that you negotiate, it's going to be a bad outcome in many ways. Even if you just consider the psychic part of it, the mental, emotional, spiritual mm-hmm. part of it. But look, I'm willing to do this and this and this, and that may in fact solve your problem. What I'd love to do is send a message that is received in such a way that they say, well, wow, in light of that, if you're willing to give us all that, let's go back to the original price. Because Mark, that's fine. You've given so many other things that I know price is important to you. We're a multi-billion dollar company. You guys even aren't even a $100 million company. So I end up getting back. And now we've both given, as I've given first, we both feel good. We both feel we strengthen the relationship and we've had a negotiation. And I just think, I'm going to go back, I'm going to say it again. I think most people assume that something has to be damaged in a negotiation inherently because of win-lose.
Yeah, there's something about that whole, the things you clutch at are the things that get damaged. If you hold your hand open, then they don't get damaged. That's how you have to go into a negotiation, not with yep. that kind of sense of holding everything in.
Exactly. So I really love this series. I do. Relationships underlie it. Relationships are core to everybody's career. Negotiations are something that happens, and you can strengthen relationships by giving first and leaving stuff on the table. In not all situations, but it should always be a consideration early on.
Cool.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
That's it for this week, folks. Stay tuned. In a few weeks, we'll be back to more negotiation.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.